was a Q&A, ask Mike or myself anything, and really, you know, obviously gear those questions to what direction you're going to kind of help you have a real good vision of what your gym is going to be, the membership style you want to run, the people you want to work with. I had a real tight vision of how I wanted the gym set up. I knew I wanted space in the middle, equipment on the end. I saw this beam. I knew I wanted pull-up apparatus hanging from the ceiling. And I also knew that because of me working part-time, I couldn't do that, you know, $150 a month come unlimited, because my gym, I think, would have been crazy and I would have had to get so many people in, and I only had 2 to 3 hours in a day to make it work. But what I did is I did something like Alan Costros told me to, like, work backwards. So, like, think about how much money you need, how much money you want to make, and then look at your membership. So I said, all right, I definitely want to make 10 grand a month from a gym, and if I get 40 clients at 250 bucks, I gross 10 grand, my rent is 1765, very little overhead, I'm not spending anything, you know, I will be able to net, you know, 8 grand right away. So I knew in the back of my head that my, not in the back of my head, just some careful planning, that my pricing structure was good. I knew it was different than what other people were used to. People were used to doing like 10 sessions and sessions and stuff like that. For me, it was 3-month membership, so I was able to do that. But go ahead and ask Mike and myself any questions, and we'll rock it out. What do you guys want to...
What's up? We already know how Zach does it, and I was kind of curious, do you model your thing like Zach? I mean, how do your memberships, you know, basically everything that Zach does, I was kind of curious to see how you do yours.
We do a couple things. We have our private, semi-private training, and then we have our group classes. We actually run two separate businesses out of our one building, just the way it worked out. My accountants recommended, because we had a gym first, we were just doing training, and then we opened up for the group stuff, which is a monthly membership. So we have actually two separate LLCs, for one and one for the other. That's how my accountant set it up. That's her. She's like the mastermind. She's like our savior. Like, that's the other thing. You find yourself a good accountant. Very important.
Big time.
She saves our asses. Like, I'm the founder. She's my client. But she straightened our asses out, because I was trying to do the books, and I was trying to train, and I was trying to work in school, and all kind of. Also, she came in and just took over. I'm like, oh man, thank you.
Show you over.
So anyway, what we do is, for our training, first of all, we tell anybody, people want to come in, they want to, they see the classes, they want to jump into the class. Oh, and I want to take the class. Well, you can't take the class, because you need at least, to tell people, you need at least, depending on the person, like if you're an athletic, you're fairly coordinated and you're athletic, it may take you like 5 to 10 private, like semi-private sessions to learn all the technique, to learn all the kettlebell skills. That's what we're mostly concerned with the kettlebell skills, because those are the most technical thing. Most of the bodyweight movements you can probably perform pretty safely without, you know, sitting there and drilling people on their technique. So we want everybody proficient in all their basic kettlebell movements before they're allowed to jump into the class. Because when you've got a class of like 20, 25 people, you can't sit there and just instruct people during that time. People have to be expected to know exactly what to do. So the new people, they have to go through training first before they can take the class, before they can jump in. The monthly membership, we do unlimited, monthly and unlimited classes, just because it works for us, because Jim's it. My partner, it's his full-time job. He's there all day long. And he does not care if there's 50 people in the class or if there's 5 people in the class. Because the workouts that we set them up so that they can handle a lot of people. All right, that's how we set our workouts up. Like, Saturday morning, we can have 30, 35 people show up.
And it's just bodyweight, kettlebells.
Bodyweight, kettlebells, dumbbells, medicine balls,
the ropes,
pull-ups, all kinds of shit.
I got a question for you, Mike. I didn't help you guys, though. Some of the things that you don't want to skip. What does it cost to arrange semi-private training until they're ready? So, all right, let's say I'm new. You tell me, Zach, you got to go through semi-private. What do you exactly say to me, and what's the price?
We charge, we do 30-minute sessions.
Yeah. Even for semi-private?
30-minute sessions. Nice. Okay, we charge $40 for 30 minutes. Okay. If we have a large, like, we'll do a Saturday morning, I'll do an intro class. I least five people in an intro class, I'll charge $30 for that intro class, which it will be about an hour, right, about an hour and 15 minutes.
Is it every Saturday, or do you just wait for a group?
We wait for kind of a group to get together, people who can jump up to an interest. The last one I had 6 people, one before that had 12, so.
And that's like an hour and 15?
It's like an hour and 15. I charge $30 for just go basic kettlebell stuff, mostly. Otherwise, we charge $40 for a 30-minute session. And we tell people at least 5, like if you're coordinated and you're pretty athletic and whatnot, you've been training, you'll probably take at least 5 sessions before. Now you can join the group membership. We have a couple ways that we set it up. We offer one month to month for $135. Okay? So people are paying $135 a month. We're actually going to change, starting in September, we're changing it. It's going to be automatic deduction, you know, automatic funds transfer, automatically. The $135 comes out. We'll just raise it $5.
We have this conversation. The biggest mistake Mike and I do is we don't do EFT, the electronic funds transfer. Getting cash is great in business because you don't got to write that off. But checks and like, you could have somebody here for 5 years and they still forget to bring you a check on the first of the month or the fifth of the month or whenever that shit is due. So you want to get away from being a bill collector. So what Mike and I were speaking about with our buddy Paul, and he said, best time for change is right after New Year and September 1st. It like marks a new whatever, like a new year. So Labor Day is over, September starts, that's like a new year for people. After January, that's like a new year. So you don't spring it up on people, and it does save you the headache. If somebody wants to pay in cash or check, we're going to say you need to pay for your 3 months in full or whatever they're doing. But what if, Mike, I got a question. So let's say I was going to do the semi-privates and you said at least 5. Do I pay for those 5 in full?
How much? I pay for 5 sessions.
So that's $200.
Yeah.
And then let's say I suck. And what do you tell me if I'm not ready?
I tell you I'm not ready.
How? Okay.
I said, a lot of people realize that they're not ready.
Okay.
They don't even have to. They don't even, they'll see what goes on outside of class.
Yeah.
And they'll realize I'm not ready for that shit yet. So they'll do another 5, or maybe they'll even buy 10 more.
All right, so it's all by 5.
We do, yeah. We'll do a 10 and a 20 session package. We'll lower the prices a little bit.
Okay, cool. So you're lowering the price a little bit. I know the groups are only 30 minutes.
Group classes are an hour.
Oh, they're an hour. Okay.
Group classes are 1 hour. We do our warm up. Our warm up takes about 10 minutes. The actual workout itself is usually no longer than 30 minutes. The actual workout. And then we'll stretch. You always stretch afterwards.
And then you have that flex time just to get shit ready for the next week, right?
Yeah, we'll run 4 classes a day. So it ends up being, except for Saturday, we have 1 class. Just 1 morning class, 8 a.m. And that's a big class. That's like everybody who's showing up who just overindulged on Friday.
Did anybody say on Saturday that this is too big, can you make a later class?
Last year we ran into that problem, which is not really a problem. We had too many people coming in Saturday, so people were starting to complain about it. We broke it up. We ran 2 separate classes. We ran 7:30 to 8:30, and then 8:30 to 9:30.
Cool.
We ran 2 classes.
You want to listen to, if you do have disgruntled people, and it's like, it's like a viable reason, like a real reason, listen to them and take action with it quickly. So here, we're opening at 5. 5 o'clock one day, 15 dudes showed up. Because like, normally I match it at 10. Like, 8 may have been scheduled, but some dudes showed up early. They called at 2 o'clock that they're coming. I don't even get here until 4:15 when I'm working. So a couple dads were out here, and I laid down the law. When I said the warm-up, I said, before we do this warm-up, I got something to say. You guys know that you need to be responsible for your schedule. I check my messages during the day, and then suddenly at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, there's 8 messages. Can I come earlier? Can I come later? You're switching up your time, number one. Number two, this is how I said it. Even with that, you're fucking up the training for yourself and the other guys. because I schedule my coaches to be here when there's X number of guys here. There's supposed to be 8 of you here. There's 15. And now we're gonna wait longer. We're gonna rest longer. I can't give you the attention you need. So not only did you fuck it up for the other people, you fucked it up for yourself. If you don't call me the night before and you show up here earlier, you're sitting outside. Do fucking warm up, right? And as I said, and those dads like that. And then I open up a group at 4 o'clock to stretch it out. If I kept squeezing guys in, you know, even somebody with no experience would say, all right, there used to be 6, 7 guys, now there's 15 dudes here. My son's not getting, or my daughter, or my wife, or whoever's not getting the attention they used to get. Your stuff should never get worse. Everything should always get better. Your customer service should always, you know, keep pumping up there. So he got so busy, they said, you know, even if you do shit before they say it, that even makes you look, that makes you look even, even better. So, and he only does 30-minute intro classes.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
Which is cool because, you know, think about it. Like you said, MMA fighters are coming here and getting busted up from our warm-ups. So that could be a real cool way to save time. And also 30 minutes, a lot of people are so goddamn busy. If you do that 12 o'clock thing you were talking about, man, the lunch break, a 1 o'clock lunchtime workout may not be the way to go. But the 30-minute, you know, like body blitz. And whenever you have classes, it's good to, like, if you're doing groups, you come up with, like, cool names to it. That shit sometimes just sounds attractive and just makes it sound different. But 30 minutes could be the way, you know, could really be the way to go for some of those adults. And you cut the price down a little bit, so it's like, all right, we're a little bit cheaper. You get this express workout in. It burns fat around the clock. You have fun. You're not wasting your whole hour here, so you can get back to work on time. And so that's pretty cool shit, man.
Because people say, oh, you know, 30 minutes. Is that enough? I said, well, you be the judge of that.
Yeah.
Okay, come on in. You be the judge. You come in. I'm not going to stand there while you're walking on the treadmill, because then you're wasting your time. You're wasting my time. You got to pay for that. And then I charge you $60 for, you know, or whatever, or $80 for an hour instead of 40. Now you're gonna, you know, you get the same workout. You're not going to, you know, come in, warm up, you work out, you hang out, stretch when you're done.
You're, you ever hear of a USP, unique selling proposition? What you're known for, that could simply be, Mike's simple answer could be, we get twice as much done in half the amount of time, and you're at least going to get twice the results you would at, you know, some other health club, sitting on a treadmill going on machines. You know, here, guaranteed, we're going to double your results in half the time. And just leave it at that. Never speak more than you need to. Be short to the point and let that shit register, like, ooh. And then, you know, say, that's, you know, just be very simple. Don't try to over explain what needs to be said. Okay?
With your intro class, I'm starting to kind of run into that problem. Everybody, you know, people are taking out. Now, I'm good at my house on narrow days. So I don't know. Like, someone comes in at, you know, 2 o'clock and I go over and whatever, and I take a full conference. But when I get, like, my new spot, like, since it's only me, and, like, you know, there's a lot of people here that work, so they don't have the middle of the day. When would you, like, recommend scheduling something where, I mean, I probably have to come up with a specific time, like, you know, 5:30 is the early intro.
Right.
And then do, you know, so just pick a time.
That's probably good. You know, a couple of weeks, I would think.
Couple of time slots that's just for intro.
Yeah, almost on time. So I think JCB can do that, actually.
Do they?
Yeah.
You have to just, you know how I said about, like, listening to the people? If there's always that, like, regular time that people are asking for, I'm going to come here after work, then you could do that. Or if you have several people coming 1 week, you know, what you want to do is sometimes.
I don't want to take away from, you know, the main, everybody.
Right.
But now, my biggest class is 6:30.
The numbers don't lie.
Right.
The numbers don't lie. If a shit ton of people are showing up for athletes, and only a handful are doing, like, this, you know, just want general fitness, then it's okay to tell them, we're getting too busy with athletes, I've run out of space, I'm going to refer you to somebody else, or you start listening to them and say, I'm blocking out this time for introductory workouts. But if that's a, you know, just if people aren't showing up for those introductory workouts and you're getting busy, then 5:30, David needs to be for the next new group of people. I know I've heard people do like Saturday morning is always free at 9 a.m. Like my friend tried doing that. He's out in somewhere in Los Angeles. He was doing shit through Craigslist and like 10 people would sign up and they wouldn't even. It was free, and 10 people would sign up, and one would show up, or none would show up. So the problem sometimes with that kind of free shit is it gets to the point where they're not there. I like the way Mike does it because I would rather say you're going to sign up for a minimum of 5 introductory sessions. It's $200. This is your schedule that you're going to show up. They pay right then and there because all kinds of things change once they go home.
And if they don't show up, they still pay. They gotta give you 24-hour notice. They don't show up, they just no show up. You paying for it.
You gotta be real, real strict on that because I bring coaches in here, so I have to pay them whether you showed up or not. So that's where the accountability responsibility stuff shows up. But if somebody leaves and they haven't paid you, primarily adults, okay? Especially if I'm a female, it seems to have more. Okay, the ladies, they go home. Suddenly they speak to their husbands, he talks them out of it, it's not that good an idea, that's too much money, we don't have that money, aren't you busy that day? All of a sudden things change. So I know that my buddy Steve Hoffman, he's out in Orange County, he runs like a crazy ass boot camp, but I know he pre-qualifies them by asking them questions such as, does your husband support what you're trying to do? Did you see our membership options? Do you know that it's EFT? You know, all these pre-qualifying questions to make sure that they're not going to ask somebody that comes and then suddenly they're like, oh, my husband doesn't want me to do this. Oh, I'm doing that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so in the beginning, you may have to, fellas, take a one-on-one for those pre-training sessions. And I'll talk to you about, I want you to get as much from Mike as you can before he leaves. I don't do those, I take the guys through baselines. So there, we have pre-written baseline programs. Okay? What else, guys? Real Uncle Mike,
you love that. Zach is heading to, how do you do your programming and all that? Do you have that system set up for that? I mean, how can you change that with your groups and with your intro?
Well, the group training, we keep a schedule for a group training. We'll do 3 metabolic conditioning workouts, we'll do 3 strength workouts. Mm-hmm. Everybody for,
was that? Just in 1 week?
Yeah, we'll go alternate days. Like this week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday was more conditioning. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday was more strength. Yeah, that's how it was. Next week is the opposite. So
for the people that show up on those same days and get the opposite the next week?
Pretty good. Yeah, depends on what days. A lot of people will train 4 days a week.
What do you do with the... Do you guys say, okay, you sign up for the 6 o'clock class, that's the only time you can come? Or is it come whenever you want?
You come whenever.
They just tend to show up at the same time anyway?
Well, you get the same people pretty much, all the same times. Believe it or not, our 6 a.m. class is like, we're getting like 15 people at least in our 6 a.m. Our 9 a.m. class is like our moms, more moms. We're getting, I think I had 18 this past, this week. In my Monday and my Friday at 9 a.m. class. And at the evening classes, we're probably getting about the same too.
We do 4 a day?
We do 4, yeah. We do 4 classes.
6 and 9, and then...
We'll do a 6 and 9, and like a 4 and a 6.
And yeah. In between, Jim is doing like...
In between, we're training. In between, we're training. So, yeah, Jim, like, he'll train more than me, because I'm doing a lot of other stuff too. I'm doing like all the internet stuff, but I'm training as well. But I also, in the summertime, you know, I'm there at the gym more than I am because I'm not at school. But he's pretty much, just about every hour of his day is taken up with training in between classes. Just about every hour.
He's called the milkman.
He's a busy dude. So like he's, yeah, and he's just like, just focused, you know. So this is, sometimes it's to the point where I have to like kind of reel
him in. Yeah, we gotta get him out to some party. Here's my question. This is gonna help. All the questions I'm asking are gonna help you guys. So listen, how did you come up with the times? Why did you schedule like How did you discover that? I need to do 6, 9, 12, 6, 9, 4, and 6. How did you?
We kind of put it out to our people. You know, what times are good? A little survey.
Survey.
You know? Yeah, it's
not a little survey. So we did it for like a yoga class that we run too. You know, put it up on the board. What works for you guys?
And what they all
went on the board? Yeah, they all filled it in. What times are good?
Driver's board.
Times. Yep.
Very cool. You should. You could always survey your. You could do it like that, like out in the open, or you could just leave something on your desk, or you could just talk to people and say, "Hey, I'm thinking of starting this," or da da da, and just listening to them. Like one thing, probably Mike sells Advocare at his gym. All my kids that train here go next door to buy protein shakes. They're always bringing in their own shakes. I'm probably slightly retarded for not having some of that shit on the back end. As much as I believe in just fucking eating chicken and steak and vegetables and fruits, it doesn't matter. No matter what, these fucking kids are looking for like the secret sauce at GNC, and you should have some shit.
You have a lot of veggies. Yeah. I actually
It's good stuff. It's a good product.
Yeah. Put me in front of their face,
right.
Let them see it, doing some trials, stuff like that. That's also a way to bring in, you know, maybe you've maxed out your training times and space and what, and like the times, like, you know, whatever, 10, 11, and 12, nobody's around. But sure, my clients are paying membership for $135 a month, but what if 50% of them or 25% of them are spending another $100 a month with me? You know what I'm saying? So those little things, and that's not you trying to be salesy. That's you fulfilling their needs. And you know what? Maybe I'd rather have them take Advocare and ProGrade than fucking go to McDonald's. Okay? Because a lot of parents are having a hard time teaching kids how to eat right and putting the right foods in their house. That's the stuff that's definitely going to work.
Yeah, but we did have some classes that we got rid of too. We had classes that like 2-3 people were showing up at.
What times were they? What kind of classes were they?
I'd say, let's see, there was a they're all of our classes are the same. You're doing the same workout no matter what time you show up. I think there was a 7 or a, I forget what class it was. It might have been we did get rid of 1 6 p.m. class. I forget what day it was.
Why is that?
There weren't a lot of people showing up or whatever.
Your evening class is what time? 6:30?
6 o'clock.
Oh, now it's like 6.
6 o'clock.
On a certain day, one of those 6 o'clock.
I forget what day. Now it's yoga. Actually, it's a yoga class on that.
Gotcha.
That time slot. The girl comes in.
Friday, you're done at 5.
Friday, we had a 5. That was great. It was 6 o'clock. We had a later class on Friday. Because, especially in the summertime, nobody wants to come.
They're right down.
You live at the Jersey Shore, you're not hanging out, working out at 6 o'clock. You're going to hit happy hour. So
pretty interesting, because the dude up in North Jersey, I invited him to come here. And he said at 7 o'clock they're slammed. You got real busy 7 o'clock class. Depends where you're at. North Jersey, up near the city, or working in that area, very busy people. 12 to 15 hour work days is normal. Most of those people are coming home at like 7 or 8, so that might be a good time.
So you pick somebody else to come in and run like a yoga class?
Yeah, we have a girl that comes in and she runs like a 10 week yoga. So people, they'll pay for 10, they'll pay for the 10 weeks. Of her yoga, and then they'll have to renew the next after 10 weeks. They'll have to renew it again.
She rent. How does she pay you guys rent?
It's like a split.
A percent of the profit.
Yeah, it's like, of all those people that pay, we take. I think it's like maybe like a 60-40 split. We give her 60.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
That's hooked up for them.
Yeah.
Uncle Mike in the house, though.
So we get 40% for just letting her use the.
But there's the flip side of Mike could have negotiated that position about her to say, look, we have a lot of people here that want to do yoga. You don't even need to market outside. We'll pump all them to you. All you got to do is show up and do the yoga. So she wouldn't even have to spend time marketing, whereas if she tried going someplace else, they'd say, we don't know if anybody here wants to do yoga. You have to do this, do that. Uncle Mike and Milkman, they're like, we got a lot of people here that want to do yoga. We'll get them right to you. Your clientele is built for you. That's more than half the work, right? Because a lot of you guys are talking about finding clients. That chick's going to show up, and she's got it.
Yeah, we also tell her that she can come and she can jump into our classes and train. So.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
What time is your yoga class?
She does a yoga. She does a 6 p.m. on Wednesday and a 9 a.m. on Sunday. We're closed. We don't train on Sunday. Like, Jim and I are locked down. She goes in and teaches the yoga class on Sunday.
So it doesn't interfere with your 6 o'clock Wednesday? So you have like 4 or 6?
We don't have a Wednesday at 6. It's just if we have Wednesday at 5 and then she comes in and she does yoga.
Right, so he's not there, so...
But then there's training going on after, before, you know, there's so much training going on. The only time it's not is like in those mid-afternoon hours, like between 1 and 3, it's pretty much close to the gym now.
Right. So just like, I want to refresh on you. So your members pay like $135 a month for the group, and then they can come a limited amount of times, right, per month.
Yep.
Do you get people, though, like maybe they get into the group and they're not ready for it, and they go back to the semi?
We don't usually, no, not usually, but we do have people who will train in the group and also do the semi.
Because they want to?
Yeah. Because they want to work on specific things. They'll want more strength, or they want, you know, still have specific things they want to train for.
It's very much like you saying that, you know, whatever, your program is based on the strength, power, and conditioning, but here, like, I don't do any speed, agility, quickness. I could easily tell the kids that I'm going to do a speed, agility, and quickness camp for summer. I'll do it for 6 weeks. Boom, it's a flat fee. And they would meet me at some shoot-it-up playground, and I would just crank out a bunch of speed and agility stuff. Let me tell you something. You think you need to be an expert? You go buy like a DVD from like Lee Taft, who's a speed guy, and you'll just take down notes, and that's how you'll start implementing. You'll always know more than the kids do, and that'll always be a big help. So remember, guys, you can back end a lot of things and offer a lot of things that maybe you're not covering normally. Okay? Does that make sense? You want to be that Green Beret, right? You want to have all that shit that's like, you're the kick-ass place, you take care of them, you cover their needs, you do what needs to be done, or you want to really, you know, step it up, you could say, I'll run a speed and agility quickness camp for 4 weeks, and it's going to be for free, twice a week, 30 minutes, and maybe you do something else, like I said, You bring a friend to that camp. That's always a big one. Bring your friends. Let them bring their friends for free. And they start seeing like how cool it is to be around them, doing all that stuff. In the beginning, you're going to be doing a lot of... There you go. Come on. This, a lot of that. You're going to leverage the shit out of it. Got to have a lot of cool videos. Got to have those kids sharing on Facebook. Got to put it out there. Leverage everything. It's critical. Yeah. What else, guys? Don't hold nothing back.
Also, in some of the intro classes, too, you find, like, I'll find that people, it gives them a taste of whether or not this training is for them or not. Like, I had a group last week, I think it was last weekend, and I had some, it was like the special ed class. I had some people who were pretty good, and I had some people who were like, oh, man, you're in trouble. And then, after the class, this woman was, oh, I can come to the group now. I'm like, you know, here I am, like, no, you really can't, you know? You need a lot more work. You're not really ready for work. So a lot of people realize after the intro class, all right, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I'll just get back to the Atlanta Club or wherever.
Which is good.
Can't
be for everybody. You got to exclude people. It makes you that much more like up higher on the totem pole of like what's the best place to go to. Very important stuff right there. We kind of do that too. Like, we have a strongman contest here, and then we do the one where we compete against the Francos. And at the Francos, they only have 600 pound tire. This one kid wants to compete so bad at the Francos, but he can't put the 600 pound tire. And you can't do that. And how could I handle that? Well, if you train here twice a week, maybe you need to do our unlimited groups. If you're here, if you pay for the 3, yeah, make it unlimited. Number 2, you got to start being a lot more focused with what you eat because you're always throwing up when you're here anyway. So, you know, you're unable to go. So there's like all these exclusivity things you could have, like different ranks, even like unspoken ranks within your gym. That's it.
That brings up the list of all I'm asked about. I don't know what Mike needs. What do you guys do in general? I mean, you know, I'm not a nutritionist. I mean, how do you guys recommend, like, I mean, we know the basics, all of us do, but what do you do to really help them focus on eating right, you know?
Yeah, that's it. And we're just starting to do a little bit more now. Like, we just give them guidelines, you know? But now we're starting, and what we're going to do is we actually have a nutritionist that we're going to use. We're going to recommend people to see. We're actually going to have them come in and do a talk.
Cool.
We're going to invite all our clients. This guy's good. And I saw him speak at one of my athletic training meetings. And the guy's
a red man.
He's a red man.
Dr. Tom Lowe.
Yep.
Yeah, see Joe Dees.
Yep, he's good.
I'm trying to do the same thing with him.
My family used them, and you know, this guy, they actually set Mike up with a little store, one of the, you know, recommended supplements he recommends, meal replacements, post-workout recovery stuff, you know, just the basics. Mike said he pushes the supplements a lot, but we just use the basics, you know,
yeah,
the basic stuff, nothing crazy. But we're going to start recommending, actually, we have recommended a lot of our clients to him, and we're going to have him come in and speak, so. Which would be a good educational experience for myself.
That's good. Hooking them up with food. I do what Mike does, do like guidelines, you know, just trying to get them to eat 5 meals a day, cutting out crap. A lot of them are just heavily bread.
Start out with eating breakfast.
That's another thing. Like, if they're like, oh, I'm too busy, then don't come here. Don't waste my time. You can't wake up 15 minutes early to eat breakfast. Like, lay that all down. Don't waste time lecturing people on shit. It never works. If I have to lecture you guys, it means it'll never work. If you have to lecture athletes, it should never work. So you want to develop a relationship like that with a nutritionist and a kid that came through my certification. He just graduated with a nutrition degree. So I had him write up 2 articles. One for weight gain for the kids that are just so freaking skinny. And then one for leaning out and more like, you know, muscle gain, getting rid of some of that extra fat. So our new athletes get that.
Well, I'm a big fan, like, precision nutrition at John Berardi. So
yeah.
Would you like even do that? Like, say, hey, this is the system I use. You know, here's the guidelines. I'll go over the guidelines with you. But if you want detail, here's the website. Go ahead and purchase it. All of those.
Yeah. I think Jason and Pam were doing our friends in Philly. They were following JB's, like, all those, like, point, whatever that point system was, or however he had, like,
his 10 guidelines.
Yeah. They were doing, I think, nutrition coaching with them, but what you can do is, on your main website, is your affiliate link for JB's thing. And that's another way you could leverage it. I'll tell you what, 9 out of 10 people that buy stuff aren't going to use it anyway. No matter how expensive you make it, that's why stuff, if it's cheap, I feel like people don't value it. I have people that come here to the certifications, it's over $1,000, and like, they still don't go out and try to make the money back by getting a client. Like, do I have to charge $5,000 for you to fucking go do something? You know what I'm saying? So, it's okay to charge for those things and refer out because it'll come back. So if you're working with a guy like Dr. Tom, you could say, Tom, if you got any clients that you're working with in this area that want sport training, I'd love if we could just cross-refer. You want to build? I do that with a chiropractor.
Yes.
So that's going to be the next question. Do you guys go around physical therapists and chiropractors and doctors and try to get a relationship with those?
Only who I like. I refer out the chiropractor I use
because
he's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I would never refer out, like, if Dr. Jamie, and I didn't know him, and I just rolled up to his office, and I didn't know him, I really can't refer him because I've never experienced it myself. I don't know any of that, but we know that Joe D is working with Tom, Mike Hanley, so it's like, boom, he's got the reputation, so it's a trusted source. If you're training just regular people, then maybe you want to build relationships with, like, the spas and all that shit and exchange stuff. But if you're doing, like, people that are practicing on you, some sort of thing, like, you know, chiropractic work I found could be on very different ends of the, on the stratosphere. Like, one could get you great results and one could be very sketchy, odd, and whatnot. So I only refer out to the guy that works on me.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, Jack.
He's got, well, my chiropractor also trains with me. He just started finally after we convinced him. But Jim and I go to him. But he sends us people constantly. Now he's like, he realizes that the training is good because he's doing it. Now he's like, Mike, man, can you? I'll put a sign-up sheet at my desk, and I'll have people sign up for your intro class. You know, I put, give me the flyer, hand it out to my, the guys. His office is buzzing, man. He's got the guys that he's been doing his active release chiropractic, does a whole bunch of stuff. The guy's good. So now he's like passing stuff out to his patients, and he's got to actually sign it. Let me know when the next intro class is. I'll have people sign up and leave their email address.
You have to pay him a referral fee or anything?
No.
Because they have a relationship that goes both ways. You can do a paying one-way relationship. So if you're a doctor, Adam, and you don't train with me, but you're sending people my way, I'll make sure that I'm taking care of you, even if that person doesn't become my client. Just because it motivates you to do that kind of stuff, but the position Mike's in, I mean, if I were you, Mike, I friggin' put together like a little info packet that also has testimonials sprinkled in there about the benefits of kettlebell and bodyweight training, and then his doctor could add shit to it about how maybe it's like it helps with alignment, it realigns the back, your joints are healthier, just get stuff into their hands that, you know, makes it even more trusted. And I think if you work with athletes, you want to connect with an ART chiropractic guy.
We don't have any. We might have some rates and stuff.
Yeah, if there's somebody in your area, that's good to go with. What else you guys got for, how much time we got, Jared?
We have, it's like 22 minutes.
Okay, cool. Like, you guys leave what, like one?
Yeah.
It's quarter up, so we got 15 minutes on the mic.
Ha!
Tear it up, fellas.
So, like, you have three options, payment options, right?
Right. Once a week, twice a week.
Three times.
And three is really unlimited. They could train three times a week, and then the other two would be just come in and sled, body weight, light kettlebells, any extra skill work they want to do. You know, that's really, that three times a week one is for the dudes that are highly motivated, or you're so busted and out of shape, like, we gotta rock. 2 days a week ain't cutting it, because I've had dudes here that come 2 days a week, then the other 5 days they do nothing, which is very bad.
Right.
Think about it, 2 days a week equals about 2 hours of exercise. And not a whole lot. We have a lot of work to do on somebody.
Right.
You get most of it.
So you think someone who let me open up my own gym stick with basic set pricing, like you have it set up, like one, two, three times a week and unlimited?
You could do a one, two, three and unlimited. I made my three the unlimited one. I think on my website it says one, two, three, and then unlimited special invite only. I just put it up there, but once the kids are in here working, I was like, I tell Frank to go do the 3 week. He could come here extra on the other days. He's not going to be coached, but he can do the extra body weight stuff. Blah, blah. And they like that. That's like the bonus. That's the other, but here's the thing about three, guys. You have upper, lower, and middle. Where do you think most people are going to go? Middle. They don't want to go low because they feel like they're being cheap. They don't want to go high because then they feel like they're totally blowing it. So they're mostly going to go with the middle. And you know what? We have a lot of dudes that twice a week that get strong as hell. But they're very active outside. That tends to be like our wrestlers. If it's our football players, they're doing stuff outside. Football players, you're probably looking at twice a week, maybe once. You never want to take a team at sport like football. You want to take the kid out of his weight room or out of that. So like what Uncle Mike was saying, once a week, the football guys is what they're looking to try to get them in there doing. Just to supplement and to fill the gap, because they're not using kettlebells there or strongman training or anything that Mike's doing. But that like one extra day is going to be that big extra edge that no other football team is doing either.
Yeah, okay? Nobody is.
So that's how you, that's the edge. Football coaches are competitive. We all know that. Even if we never played football, they're fucking nuts.
So to piggyback, how do you decide what to charge? Like, for instance, if I'm going to be starting out doing a lot of stuff in the park. You know, so how do you price that out versus what do you have indoor? Or if you go from being outdoor in it?
I was, believe it or not, my prices when I was in the garage were $150, $250, and $350 a month. the once week I bumped it to 195 because it's this freaking close to 250. So if they're going once a week, I wanted them to feel like, fuck it, $55, I'll just go for it twice a week. I wanted that. So I really, and I was also so tightly knit. If you're doing outdoor training, you know, you could always start, guys, at a lower price. And let's say you move into a facility, when you're about to move in, you send a letter to your clients and you talk to them and say, we're moving to a facility. I don't want you to get freaked out. The prices are increasing, but not for you. You guys are locked in for life at this rate. Because when I started trying to do some boot camps here, I had a couple guys that were paying $150 a month, unlimited. I locked them in. They're still here.
Yeah, we have the same thing.
You lock them in. You hook those people up. It's called like charter membership. I mean, you're locked in at whatever, wherever they came. So it's okay to raise prices down the road, but being cheaper, you know, is a correlation to what you do. And I think once you master and feel really tight with your training style and the phases they go through and the whole system, you're not going to be afraid to have, you know, even at $375 for three workouts comes out to like $33 a workout. It's pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm. You know, our private clients are paying that to us, you know?
Yeah, that's still pretty cheap. I think in like, in the late 90s, the average personal training session was $55 for an hour. So we're still, even at our most expensive one, is still cheaper. At $195, that comes out to like $48 or $49 a workout. So it's not that expensive. And you don't want people focusing on price. Remember, you know, you've got to have, another exercise we're going to do later is, you need to write down every objection somebody would have if they walked in. You're too expensive. Why should I be with you? You're a little bit further away than the other guy. You don't only train this sport. Every objection somebody may have, you should write it down. And right next to it, you should write down your response to that shit and why you could, you know, why they should choose you. But I do refer out. Like if somebody's not your main, they're referred to Mike. If somebody's up North Jersey, they're referred to Joe D. So, you know, that's it. That's a good way to work. Because sometimes, believe it or not, there's people like right next to Joe that don't even know about him, and they want to drive down to here. I'm like, you're 5 minutes away from my buddy. It would be better for you. And they're like, I don't mind driving down here. No matter what anybody says, someone who fucking drives an hour each way will eventually mind. They will eventually not want to do that. So you want people primarily in around a 10-minute drive to you. And then that's going to be most of your people. Then you're going to have a small section about 20 minutes out and about 10% outside of 30 minutes each direction. So I would definitely, you don't want to have, I talk about this later, like one is not a good number. Unless you are number one, but one is not a good number. Like one training option, one training tool, one way to market. One is not really a good number. So, you know, here and there it could work, but you always want to have more than one for something. You know, I know when Jay Cruiser was running his old gym, I think it was $300 a month, and that's the only option they had, and they could train Monday through Friday. And he liked that because he didn't want to deal with that kid that was coming once or twice a week because then he didn't know what the hell the kid's doing the other days. Like, he just wanted that tight control because he knew if he had them for 3 to 5 days a week, they'd fucking crush. So he was like, that's it. You know, that's it. So I don't know how he's changed that with his new gym, but if I just have one price here, this area, financially wise, not everybody's going to be good with $300 or $350. Make sense?
Now, I know, we want to go to our shop, like a whole lake funnel and make raving fans out of our clients, but what would be like the two top things, when we were talking about over and over again, two very top things to generate your clients as a beginner, starting out. Not only focusing so much on the few that you have, but just getting out. You got to understand what I'm saying. Get to your supermarket and of course talk to people or whatever, but that's now you're talking to anybody and everybody. And I know you went out to your clubs, your lesson clubs, things like that. What are the two top things to get on your
I like that question.
Yeah.
The mic's on the spot.
Now, you want to create an experience. Like, our clients, they're like a family. Like, our clients are, is that what you're looking for? Like,
he just wants to generate clientele.
Yeah. We're lucky in our town because it's such a tight-knit community and everybody talks, right? So people are getting results. We're just giving people great training. We're being very, very strict with them, with their technique. We're being, you know, we're on them. We're constantly on them. We're getting results. The results now that people are seeing it around town are like, you know, what are you doing? So, of course, most of our clientele is coming from our that particular town where people talk. It's very, very, that whole community, it's a small little town. They all go to the same school, they all go to the same church, and they all talk. So it's actually creating a little bit of a cult-like thing. And we try to make fun of people. Like, we're not, like, constantly, you know, even though we're tough on our people, but we also like to have a good time with them. We have events, you know, we'll have them over at our place for we'll do, like, holiday stuff. We'll do events during the summertime and have challenges.
You guys meet them at a tiki bar.
Yeah, we'll have a happy hour. We'll say we're going to Sunsets. We'll meet there. And so, like, our core group of our people will, you know, those, like, I'd say about a dozen clients of ours, they're like, they're a little nucleus of like advertising. They just talk to everybody. They talk to everybody. And that's it. That's what's worked for us. Those, that core group of people that we kind of hang out with, that we go to happy hour with, that we, you know, actually my partner and I are doing it. We're going to be guest bartenders at one of the local bars.
Oh shit, when's that?
Yeah, Milkman, O'Neill's. July 22nd, it's like a weekend. It's a Wednesday.
Oh god.
So we're actually doing that. We're like inviting all our clients and their friends and their, you know, relatives and everybody. We want to pack that place. We want to have like 100 of our. We want to bring at least 100.
How did you hook that gig up? Do you know the owner of O'Neill's?
We know the owner, and my, you know, my stepbrother works there. He's a manager, but these little places, they do stuff like that.
That is cool.
Yeah.
He's maximizing his internal network.
So what our goal is that we want to be like focused on the town that we're in. First of all, there's enough people in that town that we can make a really nice living just from those town people.
Is your town like that, man? Virginia Beach?
Yeah, it's pretty big. There is a lot of competition, like I said, and there's like six CrossFit affiliates right there and a couple other athletic facilities. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and there's a lot. There's people like who are in the BJJ that's what they want to do. They don't want to come out and do the extra strength and conditioning. I'm not trying to replace their sport, their BJJ, but I think they need something to support that.
Yeah.
And if you're a football player, you need something to support this football. I'm not trying to replace that. Like you said, I mean, you can't get them out of their team, out of their, you know, world, but I think they need a support system. That's what I'm trying to do. But being that there is already so much there, anyone who's interested in lifestyle change is already kind of involved in the CrossFit, community.
I still think your shit is so
different. It is different. But I mean, yeah, I mean, for the average person looking at it, yeah, you know, I do snatches and backflips, and I do, you know, like all kinds of shit like that.
That's cool. That's cool. And referral systems, I guess. And we actually had a referral system in place, but we haven't really, I don't know. Really used it that much, you know?
Because you've got powerful word of mouth. What I found is that some of my parents didn't want to tell nobody about it. They were afraid other people were going to find out about it. I was like, fuck. I created my own prison. I was, like, scared shitless. But the thing is, like I said, like a good entrepreneur, you have, like, that constructive, like, frustration. So you always find ways to better it. So what I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, there's, like, all these young kids hungry for training, especially in the middle school level or something. Which, even though I don't like to really get to the middle school, I was like, dude, the baseball league here is like 16 teams. I could have like gone there, started like implementing a warm up team by team, handing out my flyers, showing up. You've really got to show up and get yourself in front of people, okay? Because especially if you're showing up to their games, the parents are going to be like, I heard you train David,
My name's Zach. My kid's the one out over there. He can work on this, he can work on that. Sometimes you don't get a huge influx, fellas. In fact, that's the way it is most of the time. Most of the time, you're just going to get one. Maybe you'll get two. Then you'll get another one. Then he or she refers one more. And it's just building and building. But you just never slow down on the marketing. And that's why I like having Mike as a blog for the gym. And they're always highlighting what the clients are doing. And that's why I keep saying to you, I want to see your blog as your front page. Because what happens is, for me, I put the kids on the blog. They tell all their friends, especially with technology now. And you got to think of who you're working with, man. If you want to work with the high school kids, they're always on the phone. And that means they've always got pictures. They've always got access to YouTube, to websites, to all that stuff. They're sharing it with people. They are like the buzz builders without even knowing it because they're so tech savvy. They're sharing all that stuff. That's why it's not one way to get 100 clients. It's 100 ways to get one client. It's not easy. I shit you not. Many times the stuff will not work. Okay? Sometimes it works great, and then you go to the next place and implement the same thing. Total bomb. Total failure. Okay? Just because it may be whatever. It didn't come out right. It was in front of the wrong people, but it's constantly going out there, doing the hustle. So I've given you simple stories. Dude came here. He doesn't have a gym. He connected with his English teacher from high school, who connected him with the football coach. He now goes to that football team and does all bodyweight training with them. And he's getting a place, I think, inside like a church. That's what his facility is, like inside a church. And then he's going to do stuff with like the priests. There's going to be stuff for all the people that are members of the church. He's like going at it. He said, dude, this football team sucks. They were giving up. He goes, I never saw people like quit, like during running suicides. They can't walk on their hands. They're collapsing. He's like, I started talking to these kids more and kind of giving them more like mental coaching, more physical training. It's like coming around so much now. So he's starting to build that shit up and he's going to be able to take those kids. The coaches are on his side. So, man, you're going to have to rock a lot of shit. You're going to have to go to the football, to the wrestling. Yeah, there's a lot of competition here. But look, I'm next to a gym. The gym across the street has a huge athletic facility. Turf, indoor, everything. Nobody wants to go there. You can still be different. You can still be better. You know why? If all things being equal, what unique experience are you going to do? That's not a bunch of horseshit. Dude, fucking beer party at 5 o'clock. These dudes are bartending next Wednesday. They're doing the fundraisers. They're maximizing every little thing. But in a nutshell, Mike is just being Mike. He's just having a good time. And people want to do that. They want to hang around. They want to hang around those people. So create your family so that they have blinders on to all the other shit that's in front of them. And cheaper isn't going to bring you more people, guys. Don't try to beat the other dude by being cheaper. You know, when I was training people for $5 a workout, I wasn't getting a whole lot more people. You guys got one more question for Mike before he cuts out?
Yeah, just have that fun too, you know. Like, Jim and I are two different personalities. Jim is, and clients see that, and they kind of like that, because he's a little more, like, militant, and a little more, like, yeah, he looks like he knows. You know, he'll be very dry, you know, kind of, but it's funny. He's a funny dude. And I'm a little more, you know, I guess a little more laid back and, you know, kind of whatever with the clients. So we're two different personalities. But we like to have, everybody's got a nickname. So, you know, we call all our clients.
Right, everybody has a nickname.
Yeah, for some reason it just like clicked. Like, you know, we call some dude Uncle Fester because he looks like Uncle Fester from the Addams Family, you know. But everybody's got to know their nickname too. You don't want to be talking about people. You know, the Candy Man, the Milk Man. We got all kinds of crazy names for people.
It's funny, man. Oh man, Mike runs a pumping place, guys, but it's, you know, it's not like it was easy.
How many clients do you have now?
We've got, well, within our group, we probably have about 100, but that's not even including like private training. It's probably close to, you know, over 150, I'd say.
So you got that like cheaper offer for the big groups,
But he's still using those like semi-privates when it's not. That's a pretty cool.
Yeah, that actually does it
way also.
That actually pulls in more money than the group stuff does.
But you got to think like when they do those 30s, it's kettlebells, ropes, body. You know.
Yeah.
I couldn't do 30 feet. Even if I had 15 people in here. You know, the style training I use works best with 5 to 10 people at a time here. Which comes out on average like 30 something bucks a workout, so it's like $175 to $300 each hour. You've got to just create the right atmosphere and get enough of those people together, because it could be great training, but if there's only 2 or 3 people there, they want to be part of something big. So sometimes you got to tell those women, they like to tell people, bring all your friends with you, whatever day you want, bring all your girlfriends, let them train with us, let them get the experience. He lives down the shore, that's a very social area. So they meet at the boardwalk, right on the beach, to this place called the Tiki Bar, and they're, drinking who knows what. And just that stuff it's so critical. When I hear my kids tell me they like this more than the sport, and they love to wrestle and play football, that's like, wow, man, they just like to really hang around everybody. When they're done working out, they're all hanging out here, they don't want to leave.
Would you separate your business so those are almost like own entities?
No, I don't know why Mike did that. I think their account told them to do 2 separate.
It's a safety thing. A lot of times, I think it's a big corporation. If something happens, or someone, say you get sued, or someone fails, you can close out that one business or still got your other business. So it's usually a business.
I mean, pretty much you want to be covered anyway. Yeah. Number one, you need to have your business incorporated. It's got to be like an LLC or whatever you want. That way something happens, the business is what gets sued, not you. I gave you even resources, who to go to for your trainer insurance, and that also could cover like equipment, facility insurance. That shit has to be in place. You're not allowed to do a thing without that. Don't even fuck with it, okay? That shit has to be in place. I never had a lawyer look at my stuff. Probably be a good idea too, but if somebody got injured badly, I'd probably, who knows what legal shit, they could bring you down, and there's a lot of, hazards to any physical activity, and and sometimes what I say to myself now, maybe I'll just go a little bit lighter, and they'll do things with speed rather than, just trying to, kill shit, so that's why, you build people up to certain things, all those systems are in place, so if something was to happen, I took them through a general physical preparation phase. It lasted for this long. They showed all these signs of showing that they were strong enough with stability to do this and that. That's just the risk you have. You gotta be safe and smart. I warm them up. I communicate with them before they train to see if they had any nagging injuries. I have their medical history here, blah, blah, blah. All that shit's in place. I don't really know why I don't mind did the 2 things. Maybe it's because they're when they started, like I said, it's 3 buildings. They're all right next to each other, 3 different doors. That one had the jujitsu in it. It was like the judo and jujitsu mats, and then in the evenings or whenever they were doing kettlebells. So that everybody trained in there with kettlebells, barefoot, body. And then that other room had hammer strength leg press, hammer strength row. They have 2 little power cages in like this, some more kettlebells. That's for, I think that would, if they were just training kind of general population or Uncle Mike said, that dude Jim picks people up from the hospital wellness center. He's doing special populations, if he's doing any of that stuff. So, I think you're fine if you just go with one thing, but having a good ass account is awesome. You need somebody to help you keep finances together.
No, I didn't necessarily mean as separating a separate entity as a business. I mean right now you have your evening crowd is a certain niche. When you separate that, like, you have a book right now, when I walk in your door, I know exactly where your focus is. Would you have to rebind yourself so you have 3 different
crowds? If I started training fitness, that would be big time. The thing that I really should be doing with that, but I'm kind of at a point where I really know who's coming out and you want to waste money on it, but that binder would literally just be a pamphlet of all that stuff copied. So Adam, you come in, whether you're a father athlete, and it has the About Us, testimonials, prices, articles, all these things to back up my expectations. expertise, I would have another one like that for women. If you don't have that stuff, I mean, a lot, you know, I can do a lot of different things here that, all these little things that, like I said, sometimes you just don't do them. Like that wooden wall or whatever that thing is should be plastered with action photos of our guys. You know, so when somebody's coming in here, they're just like kind of looking at that, like, well, maybe I can get on that wall. I saw that at this, like, sushi place. That sushi place is like this size, and it's always pumping. And there's pictures of everybody, Polaroids all the way around. It's like this crazy-ass experience. They just love going there. I don't know, Mr. Pie Sushi.
I grew up with a hamburger place, and they're the thing that you get in there. They sell hamburgers that are, like, huge, the size of your plate, you know.
Yeah.
Like, if you can eat the whole thing plus the fries, you get your meal for free, you get your picture up on the wall, and up in the walls are still the pictures. And every time we go in there, it's a still.
Now your slimmest is on the wall. The bird. That's like that movie, The Great Outdoors. You ever see that? You guys
know. All
96. None of the fat grits on that steak. It's like, eat that shit. Yeah, it's like all those, like, you know, little things that keep, like, businesses somehow, some crazy way. Certain things, like, just attract certain things to people. Status may attract them to you, that you're a niche place that just focuses on. That's very status-like for some people. Some of those parents like to brag to other parents about, hey, my kid goes to this place. It's just soccer place. Like, they like doing that stuff. Okay? It's like the bragging rights thing. It's a lot of, you know, psychological things that are involved with running the business. Just as much, if not more so, the technical aspects. But none of that shit could cover up the fact that if you suck at training, you suck, you'll never be good. Like, you gotta fucking rock. If you can kick ass and get great results, and on top of it, we're adding, like, our little psychological things in here and just getting that kick ass place going. And it sounds easy, but it's that hustle, that always going out there and, you know, you go to that football field and have 60 kids, not one of them signs up with you. You know, you crawl in your hole, or you say, fuck it, I'm going to the next one. I'm going to throw down even harder. It's going to be like the main event, WWE. And just blow that shit up. Every time you go to a place, you want to wow them with you. Remember, comic book hero, you're like a legend. They want to be like, you got to show it. And then if you start going to those places and you've got clients, it's cool to take you. Like, David, you train women. You should have, like, a day with those old boys. Say, you know, this is Jennifer. And Jennifer's going to help us out today. Jennifer started here 6 months ago. And she weighed 200 pounds. And today she's 150. 6 months, 50 pounds. She thought she couldn't do this. She's going to take you guys just through a few minutes of this. And she's going to talk to you a little bit about her experience here. That shit will crush anything David tries to say. David likes to start saying, we're going to lose fat, we're going to do this. Big deal, you're a fucking guy. But Jennifer, who just lost 50 pounds in 6 months, and now, you know, her husband thinks she's hot, and she's changed her life, and she just feels like she's got control of her life. Dude, every woman in that place is going to have goosebumps, and they're going to say, how do I sign up? That's going to be critical. Okay? Let's check out, go to the page, fellas. Wait, anybody got questions, Ben? Q&A rocks. This shit's good, so make sure you throw those questions out. This is here.
I'll forget to go through everything again. We're going to go a little bit more Q&A, kind of cover the...
Go. We can do as much Q&A as you guys want, okay? Now, check out this, I think it's a couple pages down. It says carefully engineered marketing. Can you guys find that one? Carefully engineered marketing is making sure that you're using just key phrases and key explanations and testimonials and everything that's geared towards that conversation in your target population's inner voice, inner conversation. So if I'm training football players, then all the stuff I'm talking about on that website is geared towards everything that's in their head. The strength, the speed, the being able to withstand the mental pressure, the physical pressure, the ability to stay healthy and peak at the end of the season when it's important for that final game to maximize college scholarships. I'm going to very carefully speak about all those things that they want to hear. Very, very important shit. If you're marketing to general population, and I see websites that are so busy,
because it's for everybody, people are going to get lost. Nobody's going to be able to find their way. Nobody's going to be able to find their way around your website, or they're going to be lost. Is David training athletes, or is it training athletes, women, and also obese kid? Like, you know, this guy's like doing everything. He's a master of master of all, like. Yeah, jack of all trades, master of none. It's just not going to be that appealing. But if they roll up into somebody who's specializing in this and who's devoting their life to this and you've done what's called the leapfrog method, you're not waiting for somebody to say, you're the best rookie. I'm fucking best in this area. And that's it. That's the bottom line. Don't be afraid to say that shit. Okay? I don't care how many big gyms are around you. Fucking, you are the best. But you gotta be the best. You gotta really be able to kick ass. Like, you know, Mike was talking a lot about training shit that he studies. I still love to study the training stuff. All the stuff that Paul comes out with, all over that shit. I love doing that. I love watching mad stuff. Shit fires me up. Anything and anybody that I can learn from, critical. Business, I'm always studying. I always find I do my best in business when I'm really digging into those books that kick ass. And I have recommended reading for you guys, so very important. Now, if you know nothing else, renegade rule number one, fellas, make your business different, do the opposite of everybody else. Normal businesses, normal strategies, normal training, normal marketing, normal everything, normal success, average success. They're all doing the same shit. Okay? There's a Carvel that I went to GSA to pick up my son's cake. It's like no music in there. There's one kid in there, like his grandma and his kid. There's no park benches outside. Dead. Then there's this other town called Westfield in a downtown area. This place was in a strip mall, by the way. Busy strip mall. Next to a pizzeria. It could have been pumping the Carvel. There's this other place, I don't know, it's like Gelato's, right? Dude, they got like music, I hear the music outside, and in front they got this bubble machine. Every fucking kid wants to be in front of that bubble machine. And because of that goddamn bubble machine, every kid now wants a gelato. If that guy did nothing else, and he just put the dumbass bubble machine out there, he doubled his business. Dude, there's like 10 parents hanging out outside there, their kids want the gelato. You know, dude, my son gets gelato, then my daughter, my wife, now I'm the only idiot that doesn't get gelato. Fucking, I gotta buy some goddamn gelati. Thanks to the goddamn bubble machine, because the one dude in there fucking spent $20 on his bubble machine, and now he just monopolized this downtown area. Smart guy, man, from a bubble machine. And then he added Disney music. Fucking hand on his hand, and like all that shit, dude. Just crushed it. But what was different? His ice cream is the same, and all that stuff's the same. But he just changed, he got that tweak to that experience. Okay? That was huge. Okay? So, as much as I'm like, oh, that shit, I read business right away. Every time I walk into a place, I'm like, oh, they can do this, they can do that. It's always on my mind. Pizzeria. Like, this pizzeria here could be a lot more pumping. When we went to that Fast Track event, I was with Chris McCombs, he was with his client, and we went to a pizzeria. Kid was telling us, he was a young kid, I think he was like 30. And he was in the, was he doing stocks? He was at the stock exchange in Manhattan. You know, with the economy, that shit went down. Him and two other guys from there partnered up with him. They built this pizzeria. Nice pizzeria, way nicer than that. And the food was great. And I was like, how's your business going? He's like, we're dead. He's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here anymore. And I was like, bro, you have these two big screen TVs here. You gotta have like some sort of movie night that coincides with the time. And he was in downtown Morristown, like a pumping like college place. I was like, bro, during certain times where families are around, you should have like certain family movies, like Disney movies that they could watch. Then after 10 o'clock, fucking get Entourage going on and then get the kids to bring in their own beer, and like it's like Entourage night every Friday. And he was just like, I'm just so tired, I just want to do this. Like, we're all tired, we're all in that position, but your business will die unless you try something different. I told him to like
you could get like those big like cutout posters. Somebody else like get a picture of Tony Soprano who's like about to eat like a pizza and this thing says like this pizza's like effing great. And I said, but just put that shit out there like when the college kids are there. Like for like when the family kid times are around, put like a different sign out there. Like, yo kids, check out my my pizza rules or whatever. Like he didn't want to try to do anything different. The inside was beautiful, he had the big screen TVs. But what was he playing? ESPN. Everybody has ESPN. Dude,